Iranian officials say the death toll from the massive earthquake that leveled the ancient city of Bam has now reached 35,000 people. On Saturday, rescue workers pulled a 98-year-old woman alive from the rubble 8 days after the earthquake struck. Hundreds of aid workers from around the world have poured into the city, including a team from the United States. But as NPR's Lawrence Sheets reports from Bam, some residents worry that once the world's attention shifts away from their tragedy, the help will dry up.
The burials here at the mass gravesite, just under the shadow of Bam's badly damaged 2,000-year-old citadel, are now slowing to a trickle. More than a third of the people who once lived in Bam are dead. Of those who managed to survive the earthquake, thousands more are leaving. Trucks jammed with extended families and piled high with damaged household goods pulled from the rubble of collapsed homes have been heading out on the main road here for several days now. A deserted feel is overtaking parts of Bam. Peter Morris is deputy leader of the U.S. government's disaster assistance response team.
Many of the people have already left the city. The population is only, the government estimates the population now is about between 20 and 30,000. That's in a population that was originally over 80,000.
Morris praises the work of the Iranian Red Crescent. He says quick efforts to ensure proper sanitation and water supplies have staved off the threat of diseases from rotting corpses. But there are problems. Of those who've chosen to remain in Bam, some say they've still not gotten emergency tents or supplies. People line up outside of the Red Crescent headquarters looking for help. Though there are dozens of international aid organizations working here, the chaotic aftermath has made coordination between them problematic, according to Farhad Horabakhsh, logistics manager for the Iranian Red Crescent Society.
What we don't like is having no discipline. We want to establish an organization and a discipline. What to give the people, how to give them, and when to give them is very important. They have to organize what they are doing to do with us.
Abus Savzari has made a fire outside the ruins of his destroyed home every night for the past week. He has yet to receive a tent. He suffered only a broken leg when the walls came crashing down in his home. His wife and children, however, died right next to him.
It says, I had enough time to stretch my hand to my wife and my daughter. But at the same time, I was locked. I was frozen and I couldn't move.
Survivors like Abus display an amazing spirit of resilience. He wants to rebuild his home and the front of the building, which he ran as a small business making plastic shopping bags. A Red Crescent crew is using a bulldozer to sift through the wreckage for anything of value. But Abus fears Iranian authorities cannot cope alone with the long-term task of reconstructing this historic city and its ancient citadel.
We have a very not good management in UNET how to use the forces. Bam was not belong to us, was not a citadel, and belongs to the whole world.
Abus, like many others here, fears that humanitarian aid groups will lose interest in Bam over time, as the story fades from the world's TV screens and newspapers.
I'm sorry to say that in a future, the people that will forget us, and the people of the Bam will be here for the mountain of the difficulties.
Foreign aid groups and governments have said they are committed to offering long-term aid to help Bam. But if the lessons of history are any guide, donor fatigue often quickly sets in. A massive earthquake in neighboring Armenia killed 25,000 people in 1988. 15 years later, restoration work there is still incomplete, despite international promises. Many survivors of that tragedy are still living in makeshift shelters. Lawrence Sheets, NPR News, Bam, Iran.